Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Wednesday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether that is over the radio, streaming through chapelboro.com, or however you are listening today. We are glad to have you with us for what should be a busy 5 o'clock hour. Coming up at 5:30, we'll be talking with our friends over at the North Carolina Botanical Garden to learn more about their Winter in the Garden Holiday Festival and upcoming craft market. Really looking forward to that. But lots of local news to get to first. We begin on UNC campus as today is the last day of classes for the fall semester. It was certainly an eventful one as the university returned the large majority of its student population to campus for the first time since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. UNC eased its testing protocols for those who reported to being vaccinated for the virus, and it appears that the combination of rigorous testing and those vaccines made a difference in limiting the virus's spread. For this semester, UNC reports just less than 1,000 total positive cases on campus, with nearly 800 of them being students, but the school experienced, fewer COVID clusters than the previous semester, especially after the first month of school. Still, it has not been an easy semester for the UNC community. Discussions of mental health and wellness really took center stage in October and November, with university leadership sharing today that those efforts will continue into the spring semester. Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz announced that April 14th of next year will be observed as a wellness day for students and staff, making it a four-day weekend at that time. UNC also shared that it plans to make wellness days a permanent part of the academic calendar in the future. Turning to statewide news, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is set to lose a very familiar face before too long, as Dr. Mandy Cohen is going to be leaving the state agency at the end of the year. 97.9 The Hill's Elle Karras has more.
At his press conference on Tuesday, Governor Roy Cooper announced that NCDHHS Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen will be stepping down after 5 years of service.
North Carolina has benefited greatly from your leadership over the past 5 years. And that's been especially true over the course of this pandemic, during which your work has saved countless lives. You and I, along with our remarkable team, have been in the trenches together, and we're going to miss you.
Cohen, an internal medicine physician, was appointed in January of 2017 and has since led the state's response to COVID-19 and served as Cooper's chief advisor and strategist on beating the pandemic. Under her leadership, North Carolina has been recognized as best in the nation for providing equitable access to both COVID-19 testing and vaccination. Cohen said it's been the honor of a lifetime to serve the state at such an important moment in history.
Well, it's been a wonderful 5 years. I am so honored that I had this opportunity to lead the state at this moment. I think we've accomplished so much beyond, I know folks see the COVID response, but I'm really proud of the work we did the 3 years, even leading up to COVID. I think it made a difference in how we were able to be successful in responding, whether it was transitioning our Medicaid program or investing in early childhood. All of that, I think, contributed to our success.
During her tenure, Cohen said she's built a remarkable team of talented people. This team includes Cody Kinsley, who will be filling Cohen's shoes effective January 1st.
While it's hard to step away, it's the right time for me personally and the right time for our team. The Department of Health and Human Services is in a strong position to continue to carry out its mission. And in choosing Chief Deputy Secretary Cody Kinsley as the department's next secretary, the governor has chosen an incredible leader to take the baton to run the next leg of this race.
Kinsley currently serves as the NCDHHS Chief Deputy Secretary for Health, as well as the operations lead for North Carolina's pandemic response. He has served the state agency for nearly 4 years. Prior to his work at the State Health Department, Kinsley has held roles at the White House and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services under both the Obama and Trump administration. He will also soon make state history as the first openly gay cabinet secretary in North Carolina. Now, as she wraps up her final month on the job, Cohen said she looks forward to spending more time with her family while exploring new opportunities to improve the health and well-being of communities. But before she can do that, Cooper said her work is not yet finished.
Dr. Cohen, North Carolinians owe you a deep debt of gratitude. You have been such a blessing to our state. Thank you, my friend. But you have another month to go. And I know, as usual, you're going to be at it as determined as ever until the last day. So we're looking forward to the next month.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Now, we heard from Governor Cooper and Dr. Cohen yesterday about North Carolina's COVID-19 data. The message there is that it is relatively stable still. That being said, we have seen a slight uptick in hospitalizations due to the virus this week. The state reports today that we have crossed the 1,100 hospitalization threshold once again after staying below it for the past few weeks. Two other updates from stories that we reported yesterday. The State Highway Patrol has now released the names and further details of a fatal crash on Interstates 40 and 85 in Orange County. It happened yesterday morning. A 72-year-old truck driver from West Virginia was the driver who died after a car merged into another car that was driving beside the truck. That second car then struck and overturned the tractor trailer, killing its driver. And a factual update on our story regarding the Chapel Hill Carrboro Holiday Parade that's not being held this year. The town government's shared with 97.9 The Hill today that they're not the true organizers for the annual event, as was indicated initially in our reporting. Instead, the Raleigh Jaycees is the organization who plans the parade with the support of the towns. The holiday parade is not happening this year due to a lack of planning, with the town of Chapel Hill saying some options for 2022 are already being explored by the local governments. You can find a full update to that story on chapelboro.com. And it's time now for a look at our sports. We've got a big basketball game coming up tonight in the Dean Dome. The UNC men's basketball team hosting number 24 Michigan as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge, one of the biggest and most important non-conference games left for the Tar Heels this season. And it comes against a team where we've got a pretty good rivalry with, I think it's fair to say. Like the Tar Heels, the Wolverines have taken two early losses this season, which have seen them fall from their preseason ranking of number 6. Now, head coach Hubert Davis had something to say about that Tuesday afternoon when asked if Michigan could be a little underrated because of their early stumbles. Here's what he had to say.
No, I don't look at that at all. You know, Michigan is an outstanding team. They're well coached. I have unbelievable respect for Juwan Howard and his coaching staff. And, you know, Michigan is a team that not only has team goals to be able to win the Big Ten and get to a Final Four and win a national championship, they have the coaching staff and the talent to be able to do that. We do as well. We have the same type of team goals as Michigan has. And the only difference would be is our goal is to win the ACC regular season and tournament title, but we also want to get to the Final Four and win a national championship as well. And with the talent that we have out there on the floor, both teams have an opportunity to do that. And so tomorrow night will be against a great opponent with an unbelievable coaching staff.
Once again, that is UNC men's basketball head coach Hubert Davis speaking during yesterday's press conference. We have got full coverage of that game between Carolina and Michigan beginning at 7:30 tonight. That would be when countdown to tip-off begins. I'll be hosting that one with a couple of special guests. And it's a late tip tonight between the Tar Heels and the Wolverines, set for 9:15. Additionally, we've also got the Carolina women's basketball team playing tonight, also in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. They similarly have a late start, a 9 p.m. tip-off on the road as they are taking on Minnesota. The Tar Heels are looking to stay undefeated on the year. They have been on quite the tear to get things started. Corny Banghart's program averaging a winning margin of more than 35 points each game. That is unreal. We'll see how well they hold up against Minnesota. It does look like it could be their toughest test yet on the season. And turning to a different UNC sport, Carolina's Clay Lout was named the ACC Wrestler of the Week following a perfect dual week performance. He is the second straight UNC wrestler this season to bring home the award after Keyson Clark also won the honor just last week. Let's continue with a look at our local news, and we turn back to UNC campus. The School of Law announced a major donation and a new effort yesterday. Alumni Jim and Francis Kerr made a $2 million donation to establish the Kerr Family Civil Rights Endowment Fund. The goal of the fund is to provide a permanent resource to help support the teaching, researching, and student engagement of civil rights at the law school. So congratulations to the Kerr family and the School of Law. Excited to see what projects they're able to support in the future. Meanwhile, over at Duke, a group of economists recently discussed the inflation we're seeing around the country. Some prices of food, fuel, and other things have hit 30-year highs, which is a result of a decrease in purchasing power, which is when the price of a good increases, the purchasing power of the dollar can buy fewer goods and services. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach has this report about the Duke experts' thoughts on these recent changes.
Inflation is typically driven on the demand side because of excessive monetary policy. Connell Fullenkamp, a professor and director of undergraduate studies in the Duke Economics Department, said monetary stimulus has been part of the financial landscape for more than a decade.
We had the massive fiscal stimulus that took place with the Biden administration's response to the pandemic, literally trillions of dollars being spent and put into the American economy, families getting checks, businesses getting support for their employees, and so on.
Fullenkamp said this is leading to an outstanding amount of demand. But because of supply chain issues, goods are not able to get into consumers' hands. And he said despite recent wage increases, the purchasing power for many families is actually decreasing.
We have wage increases at a pace of 3.5%, which was really unusual for the past decade. And high inflation that's at 5% or 6% comes by and unravels that rather quickly. And moreover, it does the damage in exactly the places that low-income families are most vulnerable.
This is evident in the increased price of rent, energy, and even grocery store products. Fullenkamp called it a, quote, classic wage price spiral.
Over long periods of time, it's an unfortunate truth that wages really never quite catch up to inflation, at least not in the short term.
Emma Raziel is an associate chair and professor in the Duke Department of Economics. She said during the pandemic, there was a lot of uncertainty in how to plan for a crisis like COVID-19.
We saw a lot of hoarding and shortages last year when there were concerns about things like toilet paper and so on.
She said that was a pandemic-driven response, but a similar response could happen for day-to-day goods within a high inflation environment.
For non-perishables, if people are worried that the prices of those are going to go up a lot and they're essentials, people may stockpile them. And of course, that has the impact of creating a vicious cycle as it becomes harder and harder to buy them, and that can also drive prices of those up.
The Duke economist said the Omicron variant of the coronavirus could provide some short-term relief from inflation, but in the long term could postpone the recovery of the supply chain. Raziel said some solutions in the long term are to avoid panicking and avoid hoarding goods.
Inflation is self-fulfilling in many ways. If everybody believes there will be inflation, there will be.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.